Hi, everybody. Welcome to SEND Network's ongoing Training for Trainers resource. Thanks for joining us on our journey to learn together how to make your transformational training even better. We want to encourage and empower you to keep growing in your confidence and competence as a trainer. Now, here are the hosts for today.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rick Duncan. I'm with SEND Network Training, and we want to thank you for joining us for our podcast today as we help trainers grow in their confidence and competence as trainers. And with me today is our new co-host, that is Sam Dula. Sam, we are glad that you're with us on the training team, and just want you to feel free to express yourself and to enter right into our calls, just like our previous co-host, Peyton Jones, did. So Sam, what's God teaching you about training these days?
Oh man, thanks for allowing me to be here with you, Rick. God is doing some incredible things, man, and it's really cool to see his work in the hearts of not only planters, but also trainers, guys who've been in the field and pastoring and planting churches, now desiring to become trainers. Beginning of the month, we were in Charleston, and to see that really unfold amongst local guys who are excited about becoming trainers, wanting to get more engaged, wanting to not only become better at training, but also have a real burden for it. That's really been exciting to see, and looking forward to joining a group of guys there in Baltimore next week.
Well, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and I'm so happy that you're on the team. Hey, listen, we've got some great guests today. We have Dr. Willie Rice and Dr. Jeremy Westbrook with us from Calvary Church in Clearwater, Florida. Willie has pastored in Pensacola and Tampa and Anniston, Alabama, Dora, Alabama. Graduated from Samford there in Birmingham, and then got his master's and doctorate from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He's lead pastor. And then senior associate pastor at Calvary is Jeremy Westbrook, a friend of mine, because he was a church planter right outside Columbus in Marysville, planted a great church, Living Hope, also pastored in Memphis. Went to the University of Memphis, graduated from Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary with a master's, and then got his doctorate from Southern. So we've talked with SEND Network about what exactly is a multiplying church anyway. And, you know, there's a lot of different definitions out there. The Hero Maker guys, Ferguson Boys, they've got their definition of a level five church. We've kind of landed on this. A multiplying church is a church that discovers, it develops, it deploys church planting teams from within. And I hear you saying you've got people that are going out to help the next church, to revitalize the church. How do you guys actually mobilize people to leave from within? How do you do that?
Well, I'll say a word and then pitch it to Jeremy, because he's really the engineer, architect, and the guy who's the engine behind it. You know, I would say to any church, you can start, and I'm saying this as I speak in conferences and things right now, just start with what you can do. Start by supporting somebody who is going. You know, just start. Get in the church planting game through the SEND North America Network. You know, go find a church planter somewhere and get your church praying for them and give and send a team to help, because at least it's now in the bloodstream. It's in the conversation. But obviously, we want to go beyond just supporting a church planter. And this is what everybody in the North American Mission, you know, network understands, is we're going to have to create more church planters to reach our goals. And so, you know, we get in the game by supporting and by talking about it, bringing church planters in. But just like you said, how do we develop from within the guys that now we can send out? And so Jeremy, that's kind of what he's doing. And Jeremy, talk about kind of what you're doing on an ongoing basis now to train people in our church to get them ready to go.
Yeah, so basically what we're doing is we're actually working in close partnership with NAM and SEND Network. Marcus Redding was down here a few months ago meeting with our leaders, and we actually launched our pipeline last fall. We have between 15 to 20 college young adult students. We have businessmen. We have laymen. It's a diverse pipeline. We've got men and women, different ethnicities. really helping them work through the L1 through the L3 assessment pipeline of discovering and developing their gifts and their call. So we launched a pipeline last fall. We also launched something we've never had before, and that's a X150 internship program, where college students, young adults, have to apply. And then after they apply, we assess them. And then not everybody, you know, I know for a long time it was if you had a pulse, you're a planner. But we're trying to reverse that a little bit. And so we're kind of raising the bar like NIM is as well. And after they apply and they're assessed, then some are accepted into our internship program. So we've actually launched two initiatives over the past 12 months between the internship program and the pipeline to begin that process of discovering those from within our fellowship and helping them kind of develop their call and gifts through assessment and training and labs, working with our local revitalizations, working with our national local plants. And even they're going to spend time overseas. We have a global plant out of the 150 churches. 100 of them are international plants. So we're working strategically with the International Mission Board and our Baptist brothers in each country that we're planting in. And our interns are going to spend time overseas this year and working with our planters overseas, let them see that cross-cultural context of planting. So those are two initiatives that we have launched to initially say, you know what, because we've all heard it and we've all been listening to it. We all hear Kevin every year get up and talk about, well, you know, we need more planters. We need more planters. The pond is dry. The pond is dry. And we all know the New Testament, mission boards don't plant churches. Churches plant churches. And so that's what we're striving to do is those two initiatives are helping that. And our third initiative that I'm actually in the middle of right now, trying to craft and build and launch later this fall, is our residency program. So I'm talking to some NAM Sin City guys out west right now, trying to go to the whiteboard and pray and figure out, God, how do we do this? If we want to plant in a major Sin City out west, give us the city. God, give us the planner. Help me to know who that planner is, to invite him into the residency for a year with us, spend time with our church. We're one church of three campuses right now. God is blessing Calvary in a mighty way. And so we're wanting to get that resident here, network him for a year, let him build relationships, have time with Dr. Rice and our key leaders, and pray that God would send families with him. So I don't have the answer to what city that is. I don't know who the planner is, but you know what? I don't have to. God does. So it's a lot of time on our knees and a lot of time at the whiteboard. So those are some strategic initiatives we're trying to implement here to raise up and plant from within.
So how do you discover those people to invite them into the pipeline?
Sure. So, Pastor is really generous of giving us opportunities on Sunday morning from the stage. We're always highlighting what God is doing among, you know, the X150 initiative through social media, through Sunday morning platform opportunities and time, through mass email. And we communicate to all of our campuses, we're launching this pipeline. We're launching this initiative. If you are interested, if you have any kind of a heart for ministry or planting or revitalizing, or you don't even know where, you know, your passion or call is, but you know there's something there that there's an itch you want to see scratched. So we do, a pretty good just trying to market and advertise. One, celebrate what God is already doing in our X150 vision. That alone stirs the hearts of men and women in our church. And then we provide the opportunity and we invite them into the process to meet with us, to jump into the pipe. I met with a guy yesterday. A man has been married a year and a half. His wife is new on our team. He sat with me in my office yesterday and he said, I know that God's stirring in my heart and I want to be a part of something. I don't know what it is. And yesterday in my office, before I left, I got a chance to share with him X150 and about the pipeline. And he says, can I be a part of that? Wow. So he's coming Sunday night and he's going to jump into our pipeline. And if he likes it, I'm going to send him to NAM to be assessed and get him in and graft him into the L1, level one training. That's how it's happening. Word is spreading, and between all those different mechanisms and avenues that we're spreading the updates of what God's doing, but I think the Lord is just literally stirring the hearts of those within our fellowship. And so when we hear of their stirring, we invite them in into these different initiatives and see and assess them where God's leading.
So Willie, when Jeremy goes, I need some stage time. I need to let people know what we're doing. I can imagine a lot of pastors would roll their eyes and go, oh, here he comes again. He's going to steal some of my sermon time. How do you process that? How do you keep Jeremy happy?
Well, listen, every church understands there's a tension, everybody wants, prime time, and we certainly don't want to sacrifice the time of teaching the word. Jeremy values that as much as I do. But when you prioritize it, that's why that whole idea of turning the focus of your church is important. When you prioritize it, and when you have a structure in place where somebody really owns this value and can bring the message like Jeremy can bring it here, then it becomes a lot easier. I mean, we need more, we need more prime time. We need more bandwidth to get it out, but get the message out. But we're just looking for those ways. And when it comes to sharing the X150 story, we're not resistant to that. When somebody wants to give an announcement about, when the softball team is practicing, obviously, that's just not a big deal. I don't even think we have a softball team, but, you get the idea. But for X150, hey, everyone gets, that's the big deal around here now. And so we do it in bite-sized pieces. I mean, Jeremy is great, whether it's a Facebook video or it's something we put on our website, or, hey, right at the beginning of the service last Sunday, for instance, he was there with one of our other people, staff members, just starting the service. And it was just like a 3-minute take where it was, hey, let me tell you about this church plant we're a part of and what's going on. And so you just drip the message constantly. You can't constantly give 20-minute reports. People will turn you out. But you can give a 3-minute testimony. You can show the picture of the church planter that we're a part of in Denver and what happened last week, or the church plant that we're starting in Virginia, what happened last week. And those, just dripping those stories, that's how we continually keep the message flowing.
So when you guys think about just the training itself, it sounds like you're still in the formative stages of figuring out content and methodology and that type of thing as you develop this residency program. What are some things that you kind of already have in mind as non-negotiables? You're a very successful church planter yourself, so I got to get clarity on mission, vision, values. What kind of disciple are we trying to produce?
The things you're teaching them.
For me, even in the pipeline, we're walking through, and obviously the content we're using in the pipeline is the curriculum that NAM's kind of put together, the L1 through L3. And even recently, and I was doing this in Ohio. I was on Sunday nights as a pastor, taking men, interns, laymen, staff through Adrian Rogers' DVD curriculum. Last thing he recorded, I think, before he went to heaven, what every pastor ought to know. And so I've actually brought that here. And so on Sunday nights, training these 15 to 20 men and women, we walk through the NAM curriculum, L1 through L3. Right now, everybody's in L1. And we're actually starting this year, we're supplementing on top of that. And we're showing the Dr. Rogers DVD pastor training video. Because there's just some intangibles in there that I think that everybody needs to be aware of. And I'm telling you, it's been the biggest hit that we've ever done. I mean, they love it. Our college young adults love, they don't even know who Adrian Rogers is, but they're like, man, this guy is phenomenal. He's got that whole, so that's been a
awesome
big hit in the pipeline. But some of those things that we all look for me, I don't want to have to convince a guy to go plant a church. I want a guy coming to me convincing me that he's called to plant a church.
Amen.
I heard many years ago that when it comes to emotions will get you there, but the call is going to keep you there. So I want to hear from that person the call of God upon their life. I want to hear their conversion. I want to hear their call. and I can pretty much work with anything else, but I want to hear the conversion and call. That's fundamental. The biggest thing I look for also is a teachable spirit. If I'm having to work with somebody who's not teachable, humble, and not pliable, it's going to be a long road. And so I don't want somebody, you know, there's an old guy, a lot of folks don't, but Junior Hill said, you know, most Baptists can strut sitting down. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that they think they're ready to write a book, they haven't done anything yet. I don't need that guy. I need a guy who says, I want to go give my life. Give me an Adoniram Judson. Give me a guy who wants to go to a city to die and give his life for the cause of being a seed that falls to the ground and dies and plants his life there for the gospel work. Give me that guy. The young guy yesterday who's 22, been married for a year, has no clue, but he just knows God's doing something. Give me that guy. Give me him. So call, character, competency, all those C words that we all use looking for staff in many ways. But, you know, to me, conversion, call, character are the non-negotiables I'm looking for. A guy may be able to preach the stars down. He may be a great orator. He may be a guy who got 10,000 Twitter followers. I mean, that's great. I could care less. I'm interested in a guy who's humble that says, I don't care, you know, where I go or what I do. If I even have to scrub the toilets, I don't care. But I want to go give my life for the gospel and plan a work that outlives me. That's the guy I want. That's the guy I want to invest in and give my life for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that to me is what we're missing in many ways in this culture of planting. So if God will send me a guy who's humble, pliable, teachable, conversion call is there, man, I'll give everything I got to invest in that guy. Cause he'll outpace me, you know, and he'll outrun me in the Great Commission. And that's what I want to invest in.
Any advice you guys would give to the trainers that we have out there who are, you know, working with sometimes maybe three guys in a cohort, sometimes a couple of trainers will be working with six guys. What advice would you give to our trainers?
Always try to tell guys and remind them your greatest staff member is your spouse. You know, I don't care who you are. I really don't.
Yeah.
You don't have your spouse, brother, you ain't gonna make it.
Yeah.
You're just not. You have to invest well there. So make sure that they understand that principle. You know, and I spend a lot of time, as y'all do, on the phone with planners as well. And spend time with one this morning. And that conversation, your greatest staff member is your spouse. Make sure that you keep that a priority and don't leave them behind. And I was guilty of that. I'm not proud of that. My first year and a half, I masked everything as what was the gospel, and that was my call. But, you know, I left my family on the outside for a while and, you know, sounded spiritual doing it. And so that's not good. You can't do that and win. So I would say number one, spiritual health, spiritual disciplines, and spousal health, spousal disciplines. Those are the top two things. And all the other things have to be there also as well. And I understand that. But usually when our guys are getting in trouble is that they've neglected their own personal spiritual disciplines and they've neglected their own spouse. Mm-hmm. And those two things lead to everything else. So Dr. Rice has been doing this longer than I have. I'm sure he's got a lot to say. I just think those are the two top critical things to deal with when planters, because those are the things just a decade ago I was dealing with. And making sure that my spiritual disciplines were in order, making sure that my spousal disciplines were in order. So those would be the top two pieces of wisdom, I would say.
I think the only thing I would add, and again, you're talking about guys who are working with planners, wanting to train them, oversee them, is just that you've got to lean into the relationship. If you're going to coach these guys and train these guys, It isn't just going to be a curriculum. You know, anybody can teach a curriculum. It isn't just, you know, a bunch of guys can go through a class and read a book and give the right answers. Ministry isn't I heard a guy just last week in a meeting I was at. He said, if you've seen one church, you've seen one church. I thought, oh, wow, he's been around. Because ministry is, it comes at you 100 miles an hour. You know, we all could write the book of things I've had to deal with that nobody taught me in seminary. And it just, it's so crazy. It's as varied, it's as unique as the people that you're dealing with. And just when you think you've heard it all, something else happens. So I just think that in order to coach planters to succeed, which is the goal, I think, here, you just have to be close to them. You have to lean into that. It can't, the training relationship can't be, hey, I'm going to teach you five lessons, I'm going to take you through this curriculum, and then I'm going to check in once a month. I think it has got to be more life on life, more leaning into the messiness of ministry and helping to resource guys and coach guys and support guys through the challenge that is ministry. And it is a great challenge. And church planting is a really, really hard thing to do.
When we're training planters, that they often would say that was missing, you know, not just having a voice to help them navigate and think through strategy and vision and all those other things, which are super important, but also to take and make the most of the opportunity to really shepherd them for those handful of months right. that we have them. So I really appreciate you sharing and confirming that. That was really good.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate so much you guys spending this time with us. And I always learn from these conversations. And I went to Mid-America Seminary. I was a part of Bellevue Baptist Church. I heard Adrian Rogers preach. I've heard Junior Hill preach. But I've never heard that most Baptists can strut sitting down. Never heard that before. I wrote that down. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So anyway.
Another, I'll give you one more, Rick, on that. Most pastors who fail fall because they've hugged themselves to death. So what my pastor used to say. Only a pastor can do that.
Oh, wow. That's good, too. I'm going to write that one down. So, well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, spending some time with us, and God bless you and what you're doing, really. And we appreciate so much you guys being on the call today.
Hey, it's our privilege. Appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thanks, Rick. Good to meet you guys and good talking to you.
Likewise.
Thanks for listening today. Our mission at Send Network Training is to equip multiplying leaders with reproducible systems to plant more healthy churches. You can follow us on Twitter at Send Network Trainers or on Facebook at Send Network Church Planter Trainers. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. This podcast was made possible by the Send Network of the North American Mission Board.